Let's get into the lesson then. We've got a lesson here that we got to finish. We started yesterday and started on our worksheets, and we've gotten about halfway through. So we're going to look now. We left off with Paul at Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13, and we're now going to look at Paul's next city that he went to. Listen in Acts 14:1 for who it was that believed Paul's and Barnabas's speaking when they spoke before the people. Acts 14:1, and it came to pass in Iconium. Acts 14:1. This is Paul's next city, and we're looking for who believed Paul's and Barnabas' speaking. There, he was actually in Iconium in Acts 14:1. It came to pass in Iconium that they went together. Well, excuse me, they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So who was it that believed Paul's and Barnabas speaking there in Iconium? It was, it said in the last line of the verse, of the Jews and also of the Greeks. So on your paper, your worksheet there, after or next to number 14, this was in Acts 14, write the words of the Jews and also of the Greeks, the words of Scripture. From there, we're going to go to Thessalonica, to Acts 17, and look in verses 1 and 4. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, and some of them, the Jews, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So who does it say believed and consorted with Paul and Silas? That was up toward the middle of the verse. It says, the Jews and the devout Greeks. From verse 1 and verse 4. So on your paper next to number 17, write the words Jews and devout Greeks. The words from the verse. Now look in Corinth and see who Paul persuaded every Sabbath in Acts 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. The Jews and the Greeks is who he persuaded in the synagogue on the Sabbath in Corinth. The Jews and the Greeks, you can write that right next to number 18. On your list of numbers, list of chapters in Acts. The Jews and the Greeks. In Acts 19, verse 10, who were they, all they, it says, doesn't it? Who were all they that heard the word of the Lord Jesus? Well, let's read it. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So, who were the all they that heard the word of the Lord Jesus? It says at the end of the verse there, both Jews and Greeks. Well, that's not everybody. That leaves out the mass, large majority of alien Gentiles. But all they, both the Jews and the Greeks, did hear it, the seekers of wisdom and knowledge and blessers of God and Israel. Does the Bible say that anyone else heard the word of the Lord Jesus there? Doesn't say, does it? No. So on your paper, next to number 19, write the words both Jews and Greeks. and look in verse 17 of the same chapter, Acts 19, to see to whom it was known in Ephesus. Who knew it? It was known. Well, this is Acts 19, verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So this is Acts chapter 19. To whom was it known in Ephesus? This was when Paul was on his journey there and went and visited in Ephesus. It was known to all the Jews and Greeks. So not just it was known to all. The qualifier is there. It was known to all the Jews and Greeks. So on your paper next to 19, find another spot. You've got two of them there. This one says all the Jews and Greeks next to where you put for 19, both Jews and Greeks. So does the Bible say that it was known to anyone else besides the Jews and Greeks? Bible doesn't say that, no. Only to the Jews and the Greeks are we told about. Turn to Paul's summary of his earlier sending. His summary verse is in Acts 20, verse 21. To whom, this is what we're looking for, to whom did Paul testify during his early sending, the early part of his sending? Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was doing. He was testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul summarized his earlier sending, and to whom did he say that he testified? Who did he say he testified to? To the Jews and also to the Greeks. And if this is getting redundant, it should show us something about those days. On your paper next to 20, number 20, write to the Jews and also to the Greeks. And we just finished looking at the Acts record of Paul's target audience before Acts 20. Who was it? The Jews and the Greeks. The Jews and the Greeks. You see it over and over. Now let's look at the verses in Paul's epistles written before Acts 20. So during the same time period as Luke recorded the history of Paul's travels, Paul was writing epistles. Let's see what he said during that same time period of his early sending. This should confirm that Paul preached the gospel of Christ in a dispensation or a dispensing of that gospel. And it would be to the Jews and to the Greeks before the time when he was sent with that same grace of God to all men in the gospel of the grace of God. During the now current dispensation of the grace of God. In the Bible, Paul's epistles of 1 Corinthians, it was written in Acts 19, most probably written in Acts 19. And if we turn in 1 Corinthians to chapter 1, verse 24, we can see who it was God was calling at that time. A very plain and clear verse. Three verses together, actually, verses 22, 23, and 24. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So who did it say? Who does the Bible say that God was calling at that time when 1 Corinthians was written in Acts 19? Who was God calling? Both Jews and Greeks. Again, that's not everybody, is it? On your paper, next to number 19, make more room, write the words, them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Them which are called, both Jews and Greeks. Romans was most probably written in Acts 20, verse 3. So we know the time period when he says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So in Acts 20 verse 3, it's still to the Jew and to the Greek, isn't it? That's the condition on it. What qualification was still on that distribution of the gospel in Acts 20 verse 3 when Paul wrote Romans? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So on your paper next to number 20, write the words, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 10 verse 12. In that verse we're going to see that the Greeks were in the same program as the Jews. It wasn't like most people tend to think, or at least I used to. Jews were on, you know, were one people group, and Greeks were some other people group, the rest of us mostly. And the Lord made actually, before I go any further in that, the Greeks were coming to God through Israel. So they're both talking about Israel's program. In Romans 10:12, well, let's read it. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. What two groups was Paul sent to at that time? It says right in the verse, no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So on your paper, next to number 20, write the words, the Jew and the Greek. Welcome to the room. Okay, we're going to look in Colossians now. This, it provides an example in the post-Acts period epistles. The epistles Paul wrote later after the end of Acts. And it confirms that Paul's saving message went to all people after Acts 28. After Acts 20 or 28. However, before Acts 28, in Galatians 3, verse 28, Paul omitted the words barbarian and Scythian. Listen, let's read the later version that includes barbarian and Scythian first. That's in Colossians 3:11, after Paul had been sent to all men. Where, reading the verse, where there is neither Jew, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So that's the version after the end of Acts. And before the end of Acts, Paul wrote Galatians, and Paul was not yet sent to all men, was he? We've seen over and over and over, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jews and the Greeks responded. Let's look in Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Where's barbarian and Scythian? They're not included. Wasn't sent to them yet. Well, at what point in the book of Acts did Paul first report having received a ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God? Well, we recognize that to be Acts 20, verse 24. Let's look at it. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Well, that's what he had from the beginning. That's what he had, what he summarized there in Acts 20, verse 21 that we read a few minutes ago. But there's an and after that. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:24 was after all of Paul's Acts period epistles had been written, but before Paul started writing his post-Acts period prison epistles. So on your paper, your worksheet that you're going through, after the notes for number 20, draw a slash. And then before number 21, write the words, the gospel of the grace of God. That's the way Acts 20:24 ends, that he was sent to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So that's different, isn't it? That's not the Jews and the Greeks. All right, look again at this verse. Look at Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What does Paul call the gospel that Christ commissioned him to preach to the Jews and the Greeks? What was the name of that gospel? He said it in the verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Now let's look again at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 17 and 18. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What then, verse 18, what then is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. What is the gospel that Paul says he preached during a dispensation of the gospel? He said it was the gospel of Christ. Under which dispensation was Paul still preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jews and to the Greeks? It was a dispensation of the gospel again. So, where is the change from a dispensation of the gospel to the dispensation of the grace of God? Where does that change occur? Well, let's look in Philippians 4, 15 and 16. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Well, compare that verse with these verses. If we look in Acts 16:12, we get sort of a definition. It says, from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So Philippi is not only in Macedonia, it's a chief city in Macedonia. He goes on and says it's a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So that gives us the reference, that verse gives us the definition that Philippi is the chief city in that part of Macedonia. Does Acts... Well, with all that in mind, let's look at Acts 20, verse 6. Okay, Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi, which is in Macedonia, remember. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So they were departing from Macedonia when they sailed away from Philippi, Macedonia. Acts chapter 20, verse 6 is most probably only three verses after Paul finished writing his Acts epistle, Acts period epistles, Romans most probably being written in Acts 20, verse 3. So, on your worksheet, on your paper, just above the slash that you drew in the middle of number 20, write the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel in Acts 20. And these verses pretty narrowly define the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God to all men in the dispensation of the grace of God. And it defines it to be in Acts 20, verse 6, when they sailed away from Macedonia, Philippi. Now, what's the difference in the verses? With that in mind, let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 12 and 13. Those verses show that the message of how to be saved was the same message for those who first trusted Christ in Ephesians 1, 12, they're talked about. They were in Acts 18 and 19, though. In that area, okay. It was the same message being preached to those who first trusted Christ in Acts 9 through Acts 20, verse 5, period. The same as it was for those after Acts 20 or Acts 28. It was the same message. Look at the verses and see that you can see it in the way the wording of the verses is constructed. Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So the we is those that first trusted in Christ. That would be, we established that earlier, Acts and the Acts period epistles in Corinth. They all came before the post-Acts epistles, his prison epistles, Ephesians, etc. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the you in verse 13 is the ones that believed later on, after Paul had been sent not only to the ones, the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogue, or coming out of the synagogue in Ephesus, in Corinth, in Thessalonica, but he was later sent to all men, those that didn't care a thing about religion or Jesus or Jews. They had their own gods. They wanted to go their own way and make the profit on selling their gods. Remember that Paul calls the gospel of Christ my gospel. And he calls it my gospel before he was sent to all men. And Paul calls the gospel of the grace of God my gospel after he was sent to all men. So you can see it's the same wording, it's the same conditions, same promise of salvation. It's the same saving message. It's just a different name because it was in the later dispensation, the difference being he was sent to all men in that time, during that dispensing of God's grace. You can see that about the my gospel here in these two verses, Romans 16:25 and 2 Timothy 2:8. Let's look at Romans 16:25 first. Now to him that is a power to establish you, he establishes you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And then 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. That was after the end of Acts. Same gospel message. Since Paul calls both gospels my gospel, singular, then the working content of those gospels are the same saving message. The same saving message was the same. The change in the gospel was a name change, not a change in the saving message which saved Paul and the Acts period Pauline believers and saved the post-Acts believers and saved you. That wording was not changed. It was the people to whom it was sent. The change in the gospel was that the same saving message started to be preached to all men in a huge expansion of the distribution or dispensation of the gospel of salvation. I'm done, and time for questions or comments. Thank you all for being here. Oh, okay. Yeah, if you look at that paper, you should be able to see that the first part, if it's in two parts, the first part is all to the Jews and the Greeks, and then there's a turning point, a point where it's to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us, and it does teach us. I know it taught me a lot. a lot of life, how to react when things don't go right, and things like that.